Well, it's a tremendous pleasure to be with you this evening. I've been here a number of times before on different occasions. My name is Chris Berger. I'm the pastor of St. Peter's Anglican Church in the town of Mount Royal. It's an evangelical Anglican church. We're very concerned with missions and God's work around the world. And John is an old friend because my wife and I, before we arrived in the town of Mount Royal, my wife and I were mission partners in India, where I taught theology for a number of years, and my wife worked in a number of ministry and mission contexts. And we were with an organization called InterServe. InterServe was founded about 160 years ago in India, originally to work with women in purdah. That means women who are not allowed to leave the home. And it was actually started by women as a women's mission. Over the years, it expanded, and God blessed it with a wider vision. And InterServe today serves in the 1040 window from Morocco to, I think, John, Vietnam or Cambodia or China, and with over 800 partners from around the world serving with InterServe. InterServe has a unique kind of angle. You'll never see InterServe's name or logo or anything when you're in the mission field because InterServe facilitates Christian professionals using their professional skills to facilitate entry and ministry into nations that are difficult to enter under normal missionary conditions. So from Kazakhstan to Nepal to these countries that are difficult to enter into. Christian believers with professional skills, their ability to work in these kinds of countries and conditions are facilitated by InterServe. So InterServe, in a sense, is a seconding organization. So we're very much behind the scenes. So you may never have heard of InterServe because we actually serve God's work in other organizations. And so I could keep going on because I think they're a great organization, but I'm going to let John speak. Let me just introduce John. John is the executive director of InterServe India. John was a lawyer, began his working career as a lawyer and in the HR field and worked in the corporate world in HR and felt a call to be involved in some kind of mission work. And the way that turned out was that InterServe India invited John to about 10 years ago to be their executive director. And John, you can correct everything I've said, give them a fuller story, but John, over to you now.
Good evening. It's a great pleasure for me to be here among you to worship the Lord together and to hear the word of God. And thank you, Chris, for a wonderful introduction. You seem to remember everything. That was not my hope, it's not my phone. Okay. So it was a very good introduction of InterServe, and we'd like you to watch a short video that focuses a little bit on the ministry that is currently happening in India and what is happening there. So we'd like you to watch that video, and then we will move on to the message. If you need more information, we have brochures out at the entrance on the table, and probably we will have some brochures downstairs also when you come for fellowship. And we encourage you to take the newsletters and the brochures and be in touch with us. And we have an InterServe office in Toronto. That's the office for Canada. And you can be in touch with them. And through them, you can. We would like to see some of you, if God's call is on your life, to come and serve along with us in India. This evening, it's a great pleasure for me to share the word of God, and I'm grateful to the pastor and to the leadership of the church for giving us this invitation and inviting us to share. I want to read, as we start, the scripture from Acts chapter 16. If you have your Bibles, Acts chapter 16, verses 6 to 12. Acts chapter 16, verse 6 onwards. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Samothrace, and the next day we went on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask this evening that your presence will continue to be among us. You will break your word and feed us. You will challenge us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't think anyone who's here have not traveled or journeyed even once in their lifetime. Right? I think all of us have had the experience of going from one place to another, and because of for holiday or for employment, for education, and for so many reasons. And today's world, the travel has become very complicated, but very fast, and we all travel. And in those days, travel was not that easy, and yet people travel. And when you travel together, I'm not sure how many of you have visited India. We have a great railway system in India, and getting onto the railway system in India is a challenge. And sometimes people wonder, there must be a God, and God must be doing continuously miracles after miracles, because compared to the way the whole railway system functions, we have relatively very less accidents, and millions of people use that mass transport system. Now, on the train, if you get onto the train, you will find people wanting to chat with each other, people wanting to, you know, do all kinds of things. And one of the things within that journey, sometimes it's 12 hours, sometimes it is 18 hours, 20 hours, 30 hours journey time. And people really get very close to each other. They get to know each other very well. They will ask all the questions about your family history and about everything about you. And at the end of the journey, it's all over, you know. Very few of them will continue to keep that conversation going on. But traveling is something interesting. You know, sometimes it's stressful, but most often it's very enjoyable. Christian life is a journey in itself. You know, Christian life is a journey in itself. We have not yet arrived in a destination. We are still on a journey. The book of Acts focuses on several missionary journeys made by Paul and his companions. It also records sometimes the journeys that Peter and other apostles took, but most often the book of Acts is focusing on the journeys that Paul had taken. And the scripture that we read focuses on a particular phase in his journey and what happened during that time. Now, the Old Testament, if you look at it, narrates the journeys undertaken by the various patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and how God reveals himself in a new way during that journey. And that's something very interesting. Later on, we find Moses leads the people of Israel on a long journey through the wilderness from slavery into freedom. And again, God is revealing himself to the people and shaping them through that journey. Joshua leads them into the promised land. There are many conquests, many wars that they had to win. And again, God reveals himself during that journey. And then, of course, later on, they get settled into a kingdom. But eventually, they start having to be exiled, and they have to go to the foreign powers. And then they become exiles, and then they come back. There's a great return of the exiles, and so on. And you find there is something very interesting in the whole of the scripture, that as people of God journey from one place to another, God is revealing himself in a new way to them. I wonder, what's your journey? and how God speaks to you during your journeys. You know, it was very interesting that we had that journey from Germany to Canada, and many of us are moved from one country to another country, and we have stories to tell, stories to share. And those stories are of what God has done in our lives. The gospel narratives focus on Jesus, who seemed to be portrayed journeying towards Jerusalem and his mission of death and resurrection. And then later on, of course, we are also looking at disciples and apostles who continued to journey. There was a man called Sadhu Sundar Singh in India, and he was a man who walked. Most often he used to walk and preach in all the villages, and he was a first generation Christian, came to faith from a Hindu background when he was very, very young. He was very zealous for his religion to the extent that he burnt the Bible. But then later on, Christ appeared to him in a vision, and he came to know Christ. And he was a very powerful preacher and a very charismatic preacher across the country. And he used to travel to many places. And he had a love for Tibet. And one of the things that he used to do is to often take a journey by walking across the Himalayas from India to Tibet, because he somehow felt God wanted him to go there to preach the gospel. And there were many times that he used to travel there. And once, in one of those occasions, when as he was traveling through a pass high in the Himalayan mountains, along with a companion, both of them were traveling and it was very cold, they came to a point and they saw a body lying in the snow. So Sundar Singh wanted to stop and help this unfortunate man who was almost dying. But his companion refused, and he said, if you are going to help him, we both are going to die also, if he burden himself with this man. So he said, I'm leaving, I'm going to go walk along. If you want to help him, you go ahead and help him. So Sadhu Sundar Singh could not leave. So he said, I can't see this man die in the ice and snow. And so Sadhu Sundar Singh lifted this poor traveler onto his back, and with great exertion on his part, he bore this man forward and he started walking across. Gradually, the heat from Singh's body began to warm up this frozen man, and he revived. Soon, both were walking together side by side. Eventually, they caught up with the former companion, but unfortunately, they saw, because he walked alone, because of the cold, that man was lying dead. You know, as we journey in life, we need a travel companion. And in this passage, in Acts chapter 16, we find it was not just Paul alone who was traveling. It was Paul and a group of people around him, a team who was traveling with him. Now, Paul had very interesting experiences as he moved from one city to another. And the first experience that I would like to highlight is the experience that we would call us on the road to Damascus. Acts chapter 9, verses 3 to 6, we read his testimony of how Jesus intervenes into his life in his journey as he was going from Jerusalem to Damascus. Now, Paul had a great career plan, and he was very, very zealous, and he felt that he got the approval from all the religious leaders, and he wanted to persecute the Christians, not just in Jerusalem, but the Christians who have fled to Damascus. And so he was going with a group of people to attack the Christians who were in Damascus. And Jesus intervenes into his life to the extent that Saul falls on his knees and asks, who are you, Lord? It was a crisis moment for him as he was on a journey from Jerusalem to Damascus. And it was in Damascus that Jesus reveals himself to him and tells him that you have a call to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, that you are my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and the kings and to the people of Israel. In Acts chapter 9, verses 15 to 16, we see that call that is placed upon Saul's life. Now, God brings in Damascus a prophet, Ananias, into Saul's life, who comes and affirms the calling on Saul's life, and he baptizes him. Now, there was obedience and submission, and that's something that Saul learned. So if you go to Saul and ask him, what did you learn in your time in Damascus. The first thing he will talk about is this crisis intervention, you know, the vision that he saw of Jesus. And many times in all his epistles and other places, he keeps talking about that. The second thing he will talk about is his willingness to obey the Lord whom he saw in a vision and to obey the calling that was placed on his life. And I think, I'm not sure, what is your Damascus place? When has Christ revealed himself to you? And have you been obedient to the calling that he has placed on your life? For Saul, who was later on called as Paul, the Damascus experience was a very, very critical experience in his life. He often looked back upon that calling, and that was something which kept him going in all his travels. The second place that Saul or Paul would say is the place of Antioch. Antioch was a place where the followers of Jesus Christ, those disciples, were first time were called as Christians. And in Acts chapter 11, verses 22 to 26, we read that Barnabas, who was the encourager and mentor, finds Saul and brings him to the church so that together as a team, they will be able to teach that new church which has been planted in Antioch. And this is something very beautiful. There, Saul is staying right there in Antioch, spending his time with a particular church, teaching and learning how to, you know, pastor a church and a lot of things that was happening there. And God was using Saul. It was a multicultural community. In Acts chapter 13, verse 1, we read it was a multicultural community. So Saul is able to learn how to relate to different kinds of people. And God was preparing him there. And in that community, there was a lot of worship, fasting and worship. In Acts chapter 13, verse 2 and 3, we read, while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Now, there is something very beautiful as we, as a church, coming together in worship. And missions is all about the church coming together and listening to the Holy Spirit and setting apart people who have been called by the Holy Spirit, by the Lord, for the missions. You know, many times the tendency is for us, for some of us who are involved in church leadership, to stay where we are. But God has different plans, isn't it? God wants us to move on in our journey. And that is sometimes very difficult because we don't want to move on from one place. We want to stay where we are, you know. But here, Saul was being commissioned along with Barnabas to go on a missionary journey, to be able to go where God wants them to go, to encourage the new churches, the new believers across, as well as to go and evangelize new people. And that was the calling that to which Saul was even originally called. But a church had to come together to set them apart and commission them. And the role of the local church in identifying people who have been set apart for the mission is something which is important. You know, many times we think that I have a call and I will go myself. And that's something is not appreciated in the scripture. We find that there's a pattern where the church affirms that calling and commissions us to go where God has called us to go. And then we come on to another town, you know, and there are many other cities that Paul in his missionary journeys he visits. But one of the cities that he visits is the place which is Macedonia, the district of Macedonia. And that's what we heard the scripture being read. But it's a very interesting scripture because it talks not just about where God wants him to go, but it also talks about closed doors and open doors. Sometimes in missions, we always think if God has called me, then the door will be wide open. You know, so I just walk into it and I move. Just yesterday, we heard a mission partner who has been in the country for more than 10 years, involved in various roles, was suddenly denied the visa extension. And she just describes the trauma of hearing that news, of having to pack up everything and having to leave suddenly. you know, at a very short notice. And suddenly she finds the door being closed, not sure of the future. And that is part of a journey where God begins to reveal himself to us. Now, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia. But the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, keeps them from preaching the word sometimes in certain places and would not allow them to go to certain places where they wanted to go. Probably strategically they thought, you know, they wanted to enter into a new city and they thought this was the most strategic place, but the doors were not open. The doors were closed. The Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, would not allow Paul and his companions to go into that city. And it was then, that night, that Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Come over to Macedonia and help us. And it's a beautiful vision to know that there are many places in this world where people are asking, come over and help us. As countries around the world tighten the immigration laws and the visa regulations, and it becomes more difficult for people to move from one place to another, often people ask, is the time over for people from other countries to come into India? And I tell them that no. In spite of what the governments may think, nobody can stop God from giving a call to anyone to take one person from here to another place. There was a young man who met us about 5 or 6 years ago. He was from a Hindu background. He came to follow Jesus Christ in his student days as he was doing his engineering. And as he came to know the Lord very closely, he felt that God was prompting him to go to China. Now, from India to go all the way to China, you know, it's not a simple thing. And here he was, he felt very strongly that God wanted him to go to China. So he goes to his pastor in his in that church and tells him, Pastor, I believe God is calling me to go to China. Now the pastor said, you know, our congregation is a very small congregation. I don't think we can ever find the money to send you all the way to China. Maybe you want to go somewhere within the country, that's possible, we can support you. But if you want to go to China, that's not going to be possible. But eventually, but he kept praying and he was very clear that God wanted him to go to China. So he kept telling this to his pastor and his pastor said, okay, let's keep praying. And one day, the pastor had an opportunity to meet with InterServe. And when he came to know about InterServe and that we would be able to facilitate people to go from one place to another, he came and talked with us and said, this young man is there, he wanted to go to China. Is there any way that you can help him? So we started talking. And one of the visions, one of the way that we do mission is to allow people to use their profession, their professional skills to go into different countries. Now here he was an engineering student who had very good academic skills. He stood first in his university, in his post-graduation, and in his master's. And then, so as we started talking, we felt that maybe he's a very good candidate for doing PhD. And so we told him, maybe you should apply to some of the Chinese universities to do your PhD there. So he accepted that suggestion and he started applying to various universities in China. And he got a couple of admissions, but then the fees that was those universities were charging was very huge. So he told us again, you know, this is the amount of money. I don't mind asking my family to support me, but my family do not know Christ yet. And they wouldn't mind me supporting a overseas education if I was going to go to, you know, Canada or US or England or Germany. But to go to China and do a PhD, I don't think my family would encourage that. And I don't want to go to China because I just want to get a PhD, but I'm going there for a higher purpose because God has called me there. So eventually we said, why don't you write to the university and tell them that you don't have money and that you would like to apply for a scholarship. So to cut the story short, after long months of waiting, God provided him a wonderful scholarship. It's a government scholarship that took care of all his expenses. And eventually he went there. He was able to study the language. He was able to learn Mandarin very well, fluently, to be able to share the good news with some of the university students. And he's continuing to excel there. He's completed his PhD. The university offered him a postdoctoral program, and they want him to stay on in the university because of his accomplishment. And he's been a light shining in a place where there are very few people who would even believe in a God. And that is where God can take us from one place to another. And like Paul, God can open the door for us when people invite us. Now in Macedonia, as they go, Macedonia was a very strategic city, because that was the first place when Lydia, who was from it was a doorway or the gateway to Europe, and she was the first one from the West to accept Jesus Christ, to come to the faith. And so the door opened for the faith to move into the entire Europe. You know, an obedience to where God wants us to go. What are the cities that God is calling you to move into? Where is God taking you? You know, these days, people move from one city to another in a very easy way because of business and because of various reasons. We travel. And as we travel, we have opportunities to share the good news, to be a witness wherever we are. Paul, at the end of his life, end of Acts, you will read in Acts chapter 28, verse 31, it says, he proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Now you have to remember that when Paul finally made his destination to Rome, which was his desire, he was in chains. But even though he was in chains and in prison, waiting for a verdict, Luke writes and says, he proclaimed the kingdom of God with all boldness and without hindrance. You know, whatever is our situation, wherever God takes us, God can use us in whatever capacities that we have. God's purpose and calling is fulfilled. Even if we are chained, we can still enjoy the freedom, and we can take the gospel to the ends of the world. There is a Macedonian call for people to come and help them. No government will turn away if you say that I'm an engineer, I want to come and help your country. You know, that's what people are looking for. They want professionals to come, but at the same time, to come with the love of Christ. Is God calling you to a life of faith? Is God challenging you tonight to take that step forward, to be obedient to where He is calling you? Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Take a moment or two to just reflect on what we have just heard. Where has God brought you? He has brought you safely to this place, and He has a purpose for that here in this place. And He has a purpose for you as He calls you to move on in your journey of faith. If you hear the voice of God calling you, respond to that and say, "Here I am, Lord." May I invite Pastor Kent to come and close us in prayer and a benediction.
Father, we thank you for the word so beautifully given to us tonight from our brother John, who's come from so far with a message that is the same as we hear here, preaching the same Christ in the power of the same Spirit the same glorious grace that you give in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for this great ministry of InterServe and pray that you will multiply it and that you will call from Canada, from Quebec, from Montreal, those who can take their talent, their profession, their career, and travel to some place. May they hear your call even tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.